Took me a long time to learn how to play that. No, I'm only kidding. How is everyone tonight? Wow, you might turn me down a little bit. Yeah, welcome everybody. Welcome everyone on live stream. Glad to have you here with us tonight. About 2 weeks ago, maybe might have been 3 weeks ago, but a couple 3 weeks ago, Pastor began a new series in Proverbs that he has titled Lenses We Look Through or See Through, he says. And how many of you were here when he opened that series? About all of you. Good. Okay. In this series, he began by asking us what the difference is between knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, without going back and digging up your notes or opening up your phone, let's see how good your memory is. Can anyone tell me the difference between knowledge, wisdom, and understanding? Does anybody remember what that difference is? Pastor's watching. Raise your hand. Let's get a microphone over here to Skip.
If I remember correctly, it takes knowledge to create wisdom, which leads to understanding.
Okay. Definitely a shortcut, but I think you're on the right track. Anybody else? Anybody else remember what Pastor said?
Knowledge is information.
Knowledge is information? Okay. Do you know what the difference between knowledge and wisdom and understanding is? Do you remember that part? I would love my bride to come sit right here on the front row. There you go. Awesome. Anybody else? Chanita? Red mic. Go ahead.
Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge is like a puzzle. Okay. Knowledge is the pieces. Wisdom is the different pieces and how they're shaped. And understanding is being able to see the full picture.
Ooh, you were listening, weren't you? All right. Anybody else? Let me go back and just kind of share with you what Pastor said. Charlie, is this loud to you? It seems very loud to me. Is that too loud out there to you guys? Is it all right? It's okay? Maybe it's just feeding back on me here. Here's what Pastor said. Pastor said knowledge is those bits of information that you have within you that makes you you. It's all of the information compiled together, all those bits of pieces of everything that you have within you, that's what makes you you. And went on to give us some examples. He said, for instance, people that deal with sports and things like that. He said they know everything about sports. They know the batting average of just about every player on a team. They know who the quarterbacks are and what teams they play for. They know the basketball statistics and the points that each player makes and the hockey goals that they make. And I mean, these sports people, these authorities, they have all of these bits of knowledge combined together in their mind. That knowledge, listen to me, of all of that put together, that's what makes them a sports authority. You understand? It's all those bits of information that make them who they are. A scientist, for instance, they'll have that information about physics or chemistry. They can tell you that if you mix ABC with XYZ, you're going to blow yourself up. You know, they know that. And they know that because of those bits of knowledge that makes them a scientist. Well, Pastor went on to say that wisdom is defined as being able to put that knowledge, those bits and pieces, together. And you're right, he used a puzzle as an example to help us see that. Wisdom, he said, is what allows you to join all of those bits of information together to make you who you are. So they're not just scattered out there in your brain somewhere. They actually connect. And then he went on to say that understanding is being able to see how everything fits together to create an image. All right? You guys got that? All right. When we started the book of Proverbs, when Pastor started the book of Proverbs, and then I came in last week and shared that other passage with you, I was going to share something with you, and I kind of went over it and didn't, so I'll kind of do that tonight as we get started. The book of Proverbs is designed to help you understand yourself. It's not a book that beats you up. It's not a book that leaves you hanging out here somewhere. The book of Proverbs is a book that helps you understand who you are and how to deal with other people. That's why Pastor titled this, The Lenses We Look Through, We See Through. Because that's what it is. It helps us to see ourselves the way that we really are. And it helps us to see and understand who other people are. You understand that? Okay. With all of that said, I want to begin this evening by asking you a question myself. So I'll get a couple microphones ready here. And here's my question. When you think of wisdom, what is the first thing that comes into your mind? I mean, is it that still small voice that you hear in the middle of the night, or is it possibly a person in your life that you think of as being wise? See, the question is, when you think of wisdom, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Anybody? Got a couple of them here. Let's get some microphones moving if we can. We got one right here, Kevin. What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Actually, and I'm not doing this to put a feather in my cap, but actually I think of you, Pastor Steve, and my Uncle Don, who's a Baptist minister, as well as my brother.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. What do you think of when you think of wisdom? When you think of wisdom, what comes to your mind?
Well, being wise, you're always teachable.
Ooh. Being wise is someone who is teachable. Okay. Anybody else? Hang on a second here. We need a mic. Go ahead.
Wisdom is someone who can accept discipline and is teachable by everybody.
Someone who can accept discipline and is teachable by everyone. Okay. All right. What do you think of, guys? Anybody else? When you think of wisdom, what do you think of? Got a hand up over here? Green mic.
The knowledge of a person and their intelligence.
Okay.
That's what I think of them.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Got a mic there?
I think of Solomon.
You think of what?
Solomon.
Solomon. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely fitting. Anybody else? What do you think of when you think of wisdom? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Got a mic over here?
I think of it as something that you have to actively seek and desire and pursue. And develop and stay open to receiving.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. Anybody else have a thought? Miss Janita?
I think of wisdom, like we talked about, all three of them rolled up in one, is something that you know, something that you understand, and something that you apply. Ooh. And you apply it consistently. It's okay. Not one time, two times. It's something okay. You live.
It's persistently applied. Okay. Anybody else? What do you think of when you think of wisdom. I got a hand up back here in the back. I got another mic somewhere here. Ah, back here in the back. Go ahead.
When I think of wisdom, I think about my grandparents before they passed away.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And right back here, Ty.
I think about God and His creation.
Think about God and His creation. Anybody else? What do you think about when you think of wisdom? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Right there, Ed.
When I think of wisdom, I can only look at my own that I've gained. And one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to go back from the time I was saved by Jesus to where I'm at now.
Amen to that. That's wise. Okay. Anybody else? No? Okay. You know, you can ask 100 people, and 100 people can give you an answer, and more times than not, everyone has their own understanding or their own perception of what wisdom means to them, of what, how they define it in their own personal life. But there's something else that we need to understand about wisdom. You see, most people perceive wisdom as being something that's hard to get. Do you know that? Most people look at wisdom and think of it as something that is elusive or something that is hard to find or that it can even take years to capture it. And then there are those people who look at wisdom and think of it as being only attainable for someone who is already wise. Some would even say that it's primarily for those people who are just a little more spiritual than others. A lot of people look at wisdom, truly wisdom, and they look at it as being something difficult to get their hands on it. This is how the world, or the majority of the world, perceives wisdom. But in Proverbs 1, the one that we're going to be studying, Solomon tells us that that's not true. And Solomon gives us a completely different picture of how and where we can actually find wisdom. But before we dig into this proverb, I want everyone to understand something that's very important. You guys ready for this? You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Look at me. God wants you to have wisdom. I mean, you have to understand that. God wants you to have wisdom. And I know that you already know that, but I need you to receive that. I need you to go beyond knowing that tonight. And I need you to receive the fact that God wants you to have wisdom. You see, there's a difference between knowing something and receiving it. You see, when a person knows something, it's here. But when you receive it, you'll walk it out. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's kind of like before you got saved and you knew about God and you had it here. But what happened when you really, truly received Him? Didn't everything change? Didn't your life change? Didn't you begin to walk out what you knew, what you had received? You understand what I'm saying? Well, that's the way it is with wisdom. When you know here or think here that God wants you to have it, that's one thing. But when you receive it, when you truly reach out and grab a hold of the fact that God wants you to have wisdom, when you receive that within yourself, you'll start seeking it. You'll start looking for it. You'll look for ways to get it. You'll look for ways to make you more wise than you were. You'll start living it out when you come to that place in your life where you truly receive the fact that God wants you to have wisdom. You see, God wants you to have those bits of information about Him so that you can grow in Him and walk it out in your life. People who know sports, listen to me, they grow in their knowledge of sports. Every year they get in and dig in and they find out a little bit more about these players over here or these players over here or this team over there. Every year these sports authorities grow in their knowledge and in their wisdom of their work. Scientists, they grow in their knowledge and in their wisdom of science and physics and chemistry and things like that. But listen to me. You're not a sports authority or you're not a at least you might not be, but you may be, but as a rule, you're not. You're not a sports authority. You're not a chemist. You're not a scientist that is renowned out there. You are a Christian. You are a child of the Most High God. So God wants you to grow in Him by gathering more of those bits of information about Him. Listen to me. So that you can continue that growth in Him. So that you can help other people grow in Him. So that you can learn how to defeat and rebuke those spiritual imps that are in this realm that live among us here. You see, God wants you to have that. He wants you to have life and have it more what? Abundantly. And that comes from receiving what God has for us. Do you understand that? Does that make sense to you? God wants to give you wisdom. He wants you to have wisdom. And to help you understand that, we're going to go to the scriptures here. And over in James chapter 1 verse 5, here's what James said. He said, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you if you're asking. Ask Him, and He will what? He will give it to you. In Ecclesiastes 2:26, look at this. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please Him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes that wealth away and gives it to those who please Him. How's that grab you? Proverbs 3:13 says this, joyful is the person who finds wisdom. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom. Says the one who gains understanding. You see, the point that's being made here is simply this. If you want to be a sports authority, go hang out with people that know about sports. And let them teach you about sports. If you want to be a chemist or a scientist, go hang out with a chemist. Or hang out with a scientist. But let me tell you something. If you want to know about the things of God, ask God. Ask God, and He will give you wisdom, it says. He'll give you those bits of information that you need so that you can grow in Him. You follow that? Yeah. All right, let's get back to that proverb. It's important that we understand this, that wisdom, guys, is not hard to get. It's not elusive. It don't play hide and seek with you. I mean, it's not something like that. It doesn't steer you away because you're not spiritual enough. That's not how wisdom works. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. I want to show you something here. Look what it says. Wisdom shouts. Shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. Look at that. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. Does that sound like something that's elusive to you that doesn't want to be caught? God wants you to have that. He wants you to be wise. I want to address something in this verse before I move on. I want you to look at how it addresses wisdom as a female. You see that? Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds. The reason that wisdom is addressed as a she is in a lot of different languages. The language itself is either masculine or feminine. Spanish, French, Italian. I mean, there's a lot of different languages that address things as being feminine or as being masculine. Spanish, if you're going to talk about a dog, it's going to be el perro. A female is la perra. They're addressed differently because they have different gender. Nothing else, not because they're a big dog or a little dog or a different colored dog or a different type of dog, simply because they have a different gender. That's it. Well, that holds true in many, many languages, but not English. English doesn't hold true to a gender-friendly language. We are what's called a neuter, just like what you would do to a dog, language, which basically means none, nothing. We don't have a gender in our language. Hebrew, which is what this is written in, is a gender-friendly language. So the word wisdom is chokmoth in Hebrew. C-H-O-K-M-O-T-H. It's chokmoth. And chokmoth in Hebrew is a feminine word. You following me here? So when they come along and they addressed wisdom, wisdom is a feminine word in the Hebrew. So in the English, when they translated it to she. Are you following me? C-H-O-K-M-O-T-H. Okay, does that make sense to everyone? What I just said? Okay. Let's go back to these verses. You can see here, wisdom shouts in the street. She cries in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. You can see when you look at these verses that wisdom is actually screaming at the top of her lungs, and she is pleading with all of us, with everyone, to hear what she has to say. But now here's the challenging part. It doesn't seem to matter how much she screams or how loud she calls out to us. These people are not hearing her. So that brings forth a question. Let's get our microphones ready again. And here comes the question. Why do you think it is so hard for some people to hear the voice of wisdom when she is calling out to us at the top of her lungs? Why do you think it is so difficult for some people to hear the voice of wisdom when she is calling out to us at the top of her lungs? I got a hand up right here.
Because they lack the wisdom, L-A-C-K, lack the wisdom to know that they are lacking in wisdom.
I love that. Somebody write that down for me.
And they hadn't gotten over themselves.
I love that. Because they are lacking the wisdom to know that they are lacking in wisdom. I love that. I love that. Anybody else? Why is it, guys? Why is it so hard for some people to hear the voice of wisdom when she is calling to us at the top of her lungs? Right here.
The world doesn't even know what wisdom is or what it can do for them.
Because they don't know what it is or what it can do for them. Yeah. What else? Anybody else?
Because people are too worried about the stresses and the worries of this world.
Say that again. Because what?
People are too worried about the stresses and the worries of this world.
Because people are too worried about the stresses and the worries of the world that we're living in. That's why they don't hear the voice of wisdom. What else? I got a hand up back here in the back. Why do people not hear the voice of wisdom?
Because they don't think they deserve it.
Oh, wow. Because they don't think they deserve it. What else?
Some people may not want to show that they are lacking in anything. They don't want to show that they are vulnerable or missing the big picture.
Yeah. So that if they, and so if they respond, it obviously shows they are. I got you.
About as guilty as anyone, because I listen, but I don't hear.
Ooh. Okay. That's about as honest as you can get. Amen to that, brother.
When I think about it, I think about the reason why they cannot hear her is because they blend it in with everything else that's going on.
Sister, you hit it right on the head.
And they cannot recognize her voice.
You hit it right on the head. You know, we've got so much competition out here in this world for your attention. Everything out here. I mean, I passed by a billboard over here the other day by the mall. And it's one of those LCD or LED or whatever they call them big bill. I'm not real. I don't have much wisdom when it comes to that. But it's this big old billboard, and it's got this fence and this girl's head sticking up about over it like this. And at the bottom, the caption says, "I see you." And I look over there and I thought, really? I mean, really? You know, you got people screaming at you for to buy their hamburgers. You got people standing out on the side of the road holding signs that says mattresses 50% off. You got your telephone. Yeah, you got your telephone going off. People texting while they're driving. There's so much competition in the world today for your attention that we lose sight of the sound of wisdom. We don't even hear her. We don't hear out there. As everything that's going on, we don't even hear. Go back to James chapter 1, verse 5. I want to show you something. The Bible says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will what? He'll give it to you, and He won't rebuke you for asking. I have another question. Man, I'm full of them tonight, but I couldn't help it in this lesson. Here's the question. Ask our generous God, and He'll give it to you. How does He give it to us? I mean, does He just go, zap, you got wisdom, right there? How does He give it to us? Ask our generous God and He will give it to you.
Sometimes He puts you through a really tough test.
Sometimes He will take you through a really tough test. Charlie, that's patience. As for patience, He won't give it to you, but He'll put you in a position to where you're going to have to learn to get it. Skip, how does he give it to us?
I don't know that this is a correct answer, but I believe in reading and studying the Bible and listening to His Word and learning His Word.
Okay. Okay. Lewis, did you have something you wanted to say?
I was going to say the same thing. You have okay. to seek God.
Okay. Right here's Nolan. I got one right here on Yolanda. Nolan, raise your hand.
The Lord says, seek and you shall find.
Seek and you shall find? Yeah.
You have to have an intimate relationship with God to seek more wisdom in direction that He's taking you in this hour, because at the end of the day, you can have a simple conversation, but if you're not intimate with you, He can't give you the wisdom that you need. Mm.
Yeah. Amen to that. Anybody else? Anybody else? Got another hand up? Okay.
I think it's kind of along the same lines of how He uses our hands and feet to do physical, perform physical things. I think He uses other wise people, position them in our lives and our path so that they can share the wisdom He's imparted in them, that we're, you know, the mm-hmm. all the part of the body and the body helping the body
right.
kind of concept.
All right. I want to show you something. Anybody else have a hand up? I don't want to skip anybody. Right there.
It seems to me like when you ask the Father for something, it's almost like an act of faith. We know when we ask Him, we have it. And knowing that we have wisdom, when it comes time that we need to apply that, it will be there.
Yes, we do. Go over to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. I want to show you something. Look up here on the screen. For the Lord grants wisdom. He will give it to you. Look what it says. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So basically what this proverb is saying is that when God wants to impart wisdom to us, when he wants us to have knowledge or understanding to us, he speaks to us. He's, Pastor Rocky, does that mean God actually talks to us? Does it? Sure it does. When God wants you to have that, he will speak to you. So, let me go back to that question again. Why do you think it's so hard for some people to hear the voice of wisdom if God is talking? Now, we're going to put a little twist on this now. Get that microphone right back here. So, if it's God speaking, if the voice of God, if wisdom is the voice of God, why is it that so many people can't hear it?
I say they're not listening.
Okay. Not listening. You have to get this. You have to get this. This is a simple one. If, listen to me. If wisdom being sent to you is coming from the voice of God and you don't hear it, tell me why.
Well, and I'm speaking from experience. Many times I have heard it, but I have discounted it, and I've had to pay for that in the long run. But sometimes we do hear it, but we discount it, or we just think it's coincidence or it's our thinking, and we don't ingest it as wisdom.
We don't receive it.
We don't receive it, thank you. We don't receive it as wisdom.
Okay. Amber?
Some people don't know how to decipher the difference between God speaking and giving you wisdom. Yes, they don't know how to decipher it, the difference.
Okay, hang on. Some people don't know the difference between God speaking and giving you wisdom and what was it?
And yourself.
Like, and yourself, your own thoughts. Right. Yeah, that's what you were saying. That's what you were saying. Okay, one more right here.
This is pretty simple, but because we're not available.
Say that again?
Because we're not available.
Who? Because we're not available. You know, I think every one of your answers is right. I don't think there's a wrong answer in that whole bunch. But here's where I went. If God is the one speaking wisdom to us, and we want to know why it's so hard to hear the voice of wisdom, could it possibly be because some people don't know the voice of God? I mean, is that a real possibility there? That the world is filled up with people out here, even, listen to me, even Christian people that have received Jesus as their Savior, but they still don't know the voice of God. Let me tell you a story. And I'm a pastor, but that has absolutely nothing to do with me understanding the voice of God. I have studied, I have prayed, I still study, I still pray. Ask my wife how many hours a day I spend in my study, and she'll tell you. I'm the guy that I pray through the day, and God talks to me. You know that there's a song that says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. You follow me? He talks with me. The other night, well, it was probably Monday or Tuesday of this week, God told me I needed to go out to my boat and charge up my batteries. Now, that's ridiculous, isn't it? So I'm thinking to myself, I said, self, why would you want to do that? You're not going fishing. You don't need three batteries charged up on the boat. You ain't been out on the boat in a week. But I said, I'll go charge the batteries. So I spent 2 days. I went and put the charger on, let it about 12 hours, took it off, put it on another one, let it charge all night, got done next morning, put it on this one, let it charge, and went back and recharged this first one and put everything back together and put everything done and put it all back there and got in my truck and drove away and said, "You good?" That's the end of it. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, I don't know what night it was, Tuesday night, I think it was. Mary and I take dinner over to her sister, and that's where my boat's parked, out there at the dock on the and one of the slips out there on the lake. So it was about 7 o'clock, 7:30, and I said to Mary, I said, "You want to take a run out on the lake?" And she said, "Sure. You don't think it's too late?" And I said, "We got lights. Let's just get out on the lake." So we jump in the boat, fire the boat up, take out on the lake, get out there. We get out in the middle of the lake. I turn the motor off, and we're just laying back on the seats, letting the wind blow in my hair. It was great. It was great. So we lay there for a little bit, and I get up and fire up the boat. And we take off across the water, and I got it running. Wind's just blowing my hair. I look like Fabio, and I'm just back there out there running down through there, having a great time, you know, and out there. And we got out. We're out there, what, 45 minutes or so? And we're getting ready to head back because now it's got dark. It's already getting dark. It's probably 8:30 or something like that. And we probably got a later start than 7:30. But got dark on us. So I turn all the lights on around the top of the boat and just everything. We're just cruising along. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, out in the lake, that motor went bam, dead. Stopped. Mary said, "We okay?" I said, "Oh yeah, we're good." We were not good. There was not another boat on that lake. There wasn't a person nowhere. And the wind's blowing. And I'm trying to start the motor and it won't start. And it's pushing us into the side. And all I'm hearing is bruh, bruh. Alligators everywhere. And it's pushed us right up to the shore. Mosquitoes. We sprayed ourselves down with mosquito juice. They were licking it off of us. That was that bad. It was terrible. So I said to myself, I said, "Self, you got to do something." So I thought, "I'll get the trolling motor." So I've got this 75-pound or 80-pound horse trolling motor. So I take the trolling motor, get it all set up, put it back in place, because I haven't used it all in half a year. Got it all put back in place, went back to where the batteries were. The batteries that I just charged, I go back to the back and I hook them up to the batteries that I just charged. Got up to the front, kicked it up to a 5, stepped on it, pulled us right out into the lake, took us right over to the dock, docked it up. Here's the moral of that story. Why do you think I charged those batteries? Yeah. The next morning, it all hit me. It was like I just spit all over myself. It was like a ton of bricks just fell on me. And I looked at Mary and I said, "Do you know why God had me charge those batteries?" She looked at me and she said, "Why?" I said, "Because he knew that motor was going to shut down 3 days later. He knew that motor was going to shut down. He knew we were going to be stuck on the lake. He knew we wouldn't have another way into the shore. He knew. He saw it. And so God said to me, 'You better go charge them batteries.'" God speaks wisdom from his mouth to those who will listen because they know his voice. Do you understand that? Yes. It's imperative that you get that. It's imperative that you understand that. We don't hear the voice of God many times because we just don't know his voice. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we just don't hear his voice when he calls, but that don't mean he's not calling. It simply means, as some of you have said, that we've got so caught up in everything that's going on around us that we just can't hear it. Or we just don't recognize him when he calls. It's kind of like your cell phone. If somebody calls you and you pick up your cell phone and you look at it and it's a number you don't recognize, how many times do you go, probably a phone solicitor. Decline. You see, that's what we do to God when we don't recognize his voice. That's what we do to God when we pick it up and it's like, I don't know who that is. Decline. That's the way the world is that we live in. I want to say this and then I'm going to move on. If you don't get anything else tonight, I need you to get this. God has never played hard to get. God has never hidden his wisdom for those who seek it. Instead, he sends her to come crashing onto the scene, taking center stage in the world, where she says out to us, here I am. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. As we move on in this passage, in verse 22, wisdom not only calls out to us, but I want to show you that she's also not afraid to chastise those who refuse to listen. Look at verse 22. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? You see, all of these are rhetorical questions and they're not meant to be answered. It's just wisdom's way of saying, how's living by your own instincts working out for you there, Mr. Simpleton? How's living by your own mind, your own self? How's that working out for you, Mr. Mocker? Oh, foolish man. How long are you going to be your own God? How long are you going to worship at the altar of yourself? You see, verse 22 there is saying, it's time to stop living your life foolishly. It's time to stop living like you know what's best for your life. Because let me tell you something. You don't. You don't. If I want to live like I know what's best for my own life, do you think I would have went and charged batteries for 2 days? That's wisdom's way of saying stop trusting in yourself and leaning on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 clearly says to trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. Wisdom's crying out to all of us saying, acknowledge me, trust me. So many of us just don't hear the call. Let's break this down just a little bit further. In verse 22, Solomon uses three very distinct words to describe the person who is unwise. I don't know if this fits you. I don't know if this fits someone that you know. But go with me. The first one he calls a simpleton. A simpleton. To be a simpleton means you are an unchangeable wanderer. In sign language, this means to wander. And that's what he's talking about. An unchangeable wanderer. Someone who literally says, I am who I am, and no one's going to change it. How many of you know someone like that? I am who I am. You can accept me as I am or not. But there ain't nobody going to change me. I have a little brother like that. They have no set goals for their life. They have wants, but they have no goals. And they go with the flow instead of having any kind of a vision for their future. And they do that by choice. They live day to day. That's it. They live day by day. There's a gentleman by the name of Derek Kidner, and here's what he said. He said, a simpleton, look what he says, is a person whose instability could be rectified, but who prefers not to accept discipline in the school of wisdom. That's pretty strong. I mean, when you look at that, you see the problem for the simpleton, listen to me, it's not that they lack the ability to change, it's that they have willfully chosen not to. That's the simpleton. These are people, listen to me here, these are people who secretly love drama. They do. So they seek life out, and they watch it unravel at the seams. Because that's how they get their happiness. They want to find drama. They want to be in the middle of it. They see things happening and it's like they got to get into the middle of it. Oh, well, let me tell you. They've got to give you their 2 cents. Or did you hear what she said? Amen. You see, these people are simpletons. They're addicted to chaos. And the fact that they get through life by the skin of their teeth fuels them, and it makes them feel like they're worthy, like they're doing something. They have 2 major habits, instability and immaturity. But sadly, those are where they find their source of comfort. Know anybody like that? Here's what Webster says. Webster says, a simpleton is someone who is foolish or gullible. The Urban Dictionary says, a being of great unintelligence, always there to ruin your plans. Now do you know anybody like that? A person of great unintelligence, always there to ruin your plans. That's a simpleton. A mocker is the second person that Solomon identifies. And this is someone who makes a mockery of the truth. They sit back thinking they are smarter than the world. You know, and so they laugh at people like you and me because we go to church. See, they make fun of people like you and me because we have a relationship with Jesus. They laugh at the teachings of Jesus. They laugh at what God says about marriage and parenting and intimacy between couples. They mock that type of thing. The mocker, let me tell you something. He may not always laugh out loud at you, but he's laughing. And he's laughing inwardly. And his actions will show that. I want you to know something about this person. Wisdom calls out to this person week after week after week, and they just totally ignore it and refuse to follow it. Because you see, the mocker, this is someone who hears God speaking through His Word, but then inwardly says to himself, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I think we've all met people like that. People that challenge God. People that challenge the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the person of God. That's ridiculous, they say. The last person that is described in this proverb is the fool. And the fool is the person who is even more obstinate and stubborn than the simpleton. You see, because he takes pleasure in his identity as a fool. He takes pleasure in his identity as a fool. And don't misunderstand, he doesn't recognize himself as being a fool, and he doesn't call himself a fool. He's that person that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's that person that Paul said, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded their minds, or the minds of those who don't believe. Satan has blinded the minds of those, and because his mind is blinded, he likes playing the part of a foolish person. He's not willing to step out into the realm of possibility that God is there. He's not willing to step out and hear God calling when God calls. He's not willing to be that person. He would rather step back and stay where he is. He likes living by his own rules. And when he makes a mistake, listen to me, he has no problem making it again. That's the foolish man. He's the perfect example of what Solomon said in Solomon 26:11. Look at what he says. He says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. That's who we're talking about. This person, he refuses to learn from his mistakes. He just don't want to hear it. I learned a long time ago there's four kinds of people in this world. That's it. There's four kinds of people in this world. There are those who are wise because they have learned and continue to learn from the mistakes of others. They see you do something that's wrong, they ain't going to step out there and do it because they know it don't work. They see somebody do something and they get burned, they stay away from that because of the mistake that they made. A person who is wise learns from the mistakes of others and receives that into themselves. There are those who are smart because, you see, they learn from their own mistakes. People who are smart, they learn from their own mistakes not to do that again. Because when you do that again, it makes you a fool. So they learn not to do that. They learn from their own mistakes. There are also people who are ignorant. They're not stupid. They're ignorant. They lack knowledge. They lack understanding. See, a person who is ignorant of something, that doesn't make them stupid or nuts or anything else. So when a person looks at somebody and says, they're ignorant, what they're trying to say is they're stupid. But that's not true. The word ignorance simply means they lack knowledge, they lack understanding, they don't have enough bits and pieces to be able to put the puzzle together. They lack that. So that's a person who is ignorant. And then we have the fool who doesn't lack anything. They just don't want to learn. You follow me? Four kinds of people in this world. The wise, the smart, the ignorant, and the fool. Proverbs 27:22 says this. He says, you can't separate fools from their foolishness. Even though you grind them like grain with mortar and pestle. You see, as a rule, foolish people have a tendency to block themselves off from other people that have the ability to give them wise counsel. They close up their mind. They seal themselves shut because, let me tell you something, they don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear it. How many times have you invited somebody to church that you really knew, just really needed to be here, and they don't want to hear it? They don't want to hear it. And here's the kicker. Foolish people have the mental and the intellectual capacity to be wise, but their heart is bent on staying foolish. They like themselves that way. Simpletons, mockers, and fools, they all have one thing in common. They put their confidence and their trusts in themselves and not in God. Sad, isn't it? You know, I started this study in Proverbs, and my intention was to go from verse 21 through 33, I think it is, because that's that segment where, because it's broken down in these different segments of Proverbs. And I was going to go from verse 21 to 33 and just kind of break all that down. And I started putting this thing together. I got two verses and ended up shoving another one in there so I would have another verse in there. There's so much involvement in this, in these verses. It's just crazy what Solomon writes in here. Man. I want to bring this a little bit closer to home, and I want to talk to the men for a minute. Ladies, look over and go, yeah, yeah. There are a lot of men in this world that are thick-headed, stubborn. What? They're inflexible, unmovable, isolated, self-confident. They're not very teachable. And I want you to know something before I even move on. There's not one of those words that doesn't apply to me in some area of my life. Don't say a word. What? Turn that camera off. I don't want to get caught doing this. But seriously, there's not one of those words that doesn't apply to me in some area of my life. But you know, men, as a rule, we are that way or this way because we have a natural bend within us to live foolishly. I mean, we do. We're guys. And I want you to hear me out before you disagree with me, because it's not the kind of foolishness that makes us look obvious. It's not the kind of foolishness that gets us put in jail. It's not that. You see, it's the kind of foolishness that gets us that brand new house and that successful job at the expense of our marriage. It's the kind of foolishness that builds this really good financial portfolio for our future, but a shallow relationship with our children. You know, as a rule, men can plan out the next 20 years, but we struggle making the right decisions for today. As a rule. Not all of us, but as a rule. And that's why men, or most of us, need to be harnessed and led by the wisdom of God so that our work doesn't lead to the death of the best things in our life. Did y'all hear what I said? Amen. Yeah, but it got quiet. Men need to be harnessed. We have that natural... We need that. We need to be led by the wisdom of God. You know, as we go forth and look at being the head of our home and taking a good look at our life, we don't need to be men out there that trust in our work. We need to be God-fearing men that trust in the Lord. That's who we need to be. Yeah. And I want to say one more thing and then I'll move on. If you're married, if you're a married man, then you have another voice of wisdom living underneath the same roof with you. That's your wife. In our study last week, in Proverbs 1:8, look what Solomon said. He said, "My child, listen when your father corrects you, but don't neglect your mother's instruction." Some of the other verses or some of the other translations talks about the mother's wisdom. You see, what he's saying there is listen to her. One of the effects of getting my hair cut this short is that I'm reminded I have two ears and one mouth. So I've been trying to listen better. I really have. I've been trying to listen better and follow what she says now and then. What? I didn't say it. I want to tell you this. Following her lead. It's not always fun. But I promise you it will make me a better man of God. where it's at. That's where it's at. So you have another voice of wisdom. You like that, don't you, Yolanda? She grinning like a cat that got the canary. So here's the closing part of this portion of this proverb. Wisdom, God's voice, wisdom, gives us a choice to leave our old ways of life and begin to walk down this new path that He sets before us. But I want you to understand something. When you start pursuing wisdom, when you start really looking for it, you see, remember, there's a difference in knowing about wisdom and receiving wisdom. Because when you receive wisdom, you're going to start seeking it. When you've got it, when you really got it, you're going to start looking for it. You're going to start looking more for it. You want more of it. When you got saved and Jesus come into your life, the Holy Spirit come to live within you, did you not start seeking? Did you not want more of Him? Did you not want to know Him a little bit better? Did you not want to get to know His voice? Did you not want to be able to please Him? Did you not want to be that person that He can look at and say, that's my boy or that's my girl? Is that not what you wanted? That's because you received Him unto yourself. Well, when you receive wisdom, when you hear God's voice and you answer and say, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes. It may take you down a different path. And I want you to understand that that path is sometimes painful. That path is not always easy. That path is sometimes painful enough that it will put tears in your eyes. It'll drive you to your knees. That path is painful enough that you will cry out to God for more and more wisdom. It's painful because sometimes, guys, sometimes it will involve leaning not on your own understanding and not following your own direction even when you want to. You see, Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it's beginning in verse 10, says for us to be aware that we have principalities and rulers and authorities that live all around us. And even though you can't see them, that does not mean they are not there. And their primary job is to reach out and grab a hold of you and to take you away. And to pull you away from what you know is true. They want to convince you that the life you're living is not the life that you should be living. They want to tell you God is a liar. And that all of His promises are not true. That He has lied to you. And they want to convince you of the things in your life that did not come to pass because of Him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That's their job. That's their primary job. And if you decide to listen, you won't stay on the path that God has put for you. You will wander off and you will take that road that your flesh wants to take. If you stay on that road that God has designed for you, your flesh is going to get real upset with you. You need to get that. Your flesh is going to get real upset with you because I promise you, over the years, you have become comfortable traveling through those well-worn trenches of your life. In Alaska, one of the main highways out there, main roads out there, has got ruts in it. And the ruts are super deep. And there's a big sign right there at the front of one of those roads that says, pick the rut you choose to travel in, you're going to be in it for a while. True story. You see, that's the way our life is. We get comfortable in our rut. We get comfortable traveling in our own rut. Let me ask you something. Let me give you an example. How many of you wake up in the morning and do the same exact thing every morning? Raise your hand. Come on, get honest. Okay. That's about all of you. The rest of you, come on. Let me ask you another question. When you get in the shower, how many of you have a routine in which you shower and wash your hair or your feet or whatever it is first, and you go right on down the line every single time? Yeah? How about when you put your toilet paper on? Do you ever flip it over and you really don't care if it's over or under? You're an over? I'm an over. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about getting in a rut. We had a pastor and his friend come spend the night at our house. Or his wife, friend. His wife come spend the... That was really good, wasn't it? Delete! We... All right, let me get composed. We had a pastor and his wife. You know that other wise person in his household? Come spend the night with us. Well, I'm a toilet paper over kind of guy. You know? I have to keep understand here why you do this, you know, when you can just... So anyway, in the master bathroom, or not the master, but the second bathroom, which was going to be their bathroom for the night, we go in and put the toilet paper in and everything's fine. And well, they spend the night. We had dinner. Everything's great. They left to go home the next day. So Mary goes in and cleaning up the bathroom and all that stuff. They turned my paper tap, my toilet paper over. They took my toilet paper out of the roll and turned it under and put it back in its place. You want to talk about a rut? Them people living in a rut. They were what? Underachievers. Underachievers. That's right. We have ruts, man. We have trenches that we live in. And I can promise you this. When people leave their simpleton, mocking, foolish ways and start following the voice of wisdom, it will take you in places that you've never dreamed of. That's God's promise to all of us. I've come to give you life. And give it more abundantly. You see, that's what God says. So when we're to that place in our life where we get so broken, and that's usually what ends up happening, we usually find ourselves so broken over something that we've come to the end of ourself, and it's like, there ain't no more me, so let me just go ahead and give you a shot. And God says, I've been calling to you. You see, it'll take you to new places. When you leave that kind of life and grab a hold of the wisdom of God and allow it to be a part of you, when you receive it, it'll take you to church. It'll put you in a catalyst group. It'll give you new friends that you can hang out with that'll tell you the truth and be honest about you. And they won't tell you what you want to hear, but they'll literally be honest with you about your life and about what they see in your life. You know what I'm saying? See, that's what happens when wisdom becomes a part of who we are. The pain that comes from leaving that simple way of life for the way of wisdom and living that life of wisdom is a good pain. You ever have a good hurt? Oh, yeah, there was a song that said, hurts so good, just hurts. Good. I know she said, don't sing. All right. So here's the bottom line. Step out. Clean out your ears. Let the voice of God, the real voice of God, teach you who He is. I promise you that you'll love your new life. I promise you. In closing, I want to close with this. Verse 23 says, come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you, and I'll make you wise. You see, this is God. This is what God says to each one of us. Come, come, come and listen to my counsel. And I'll share my heart with you. I'll share my heart with you. I'll share my heart with you. And I'll make you wise. Wow. I think that just now hit me. That's God's promise to each one of us. So here's my close. All right, you guys ready for this? And I wrote it down so I wouldn't lose it. If you don't listen when God calls you, God may not listen when you call for Him. Amen. If you won't be found when God seeks you, God may not be found when you seek Him. If you turn away when God stretches out His hand for you, God may turn away when you stretch out yours for Him. And if you laugh at God, the day will come when God will laugh at you. And I know our first thought about all of that is simply this. I don't reject God. I don't push God away, and I most definitely, I don't laugh at God. But what we need to understand is when we don't respond, when God calls us, that is the same thing as pushing Him away, rejecting Him, laughing at Him, whatever you want to call it. When God calls upon you and we choose to reject that call, it's the same thing. Whether you realize it or not, Christians can stop listening to the call of wisdom. Christians can shut themselves off from God, and they can choose to stop growing. So here's the challenge. Break free from the mindset. Don't let the world grab hold of you. Get out of the spiritual funk we're in. Get out of the rut that you've been traveling in, and begin to admit, listen to me, admit where you're at. Admit where you're at with God. Confess it to Him. Just say, God, I'm stuck. Just say, I'm stuck. That's all you have to do. Just say, I'm stuck. And God will do the rest. So, with all of that said, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to ask you to stand up for just a minute. All right? Because I want to do something just real briefly, if I might.